Amen. I'm actually really, I'm genuinely excited about this month. Not because I get to speak 5 weeks in a row, although I always find that pretty exciting. Because it's a time to communicate, to reiterate, not just this vision of Good Life, but what I genuinely know is a unique call. Listen, it's not a better call, it's not a bigger call, it's just a unique call. We are all part of the greater community of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of Jesus, His statement of Himself in the earth. And there are all sorts of different gatherings, and none are better than any other. If you ever, you know, invited to be a part of a church gathering that says, you know, that they are the way or they're better than any other way, get the heck away from them. That gets scary. We are all called to be a part of the community of believers, the expression of Jesus Christ in community. That's what we call the church. About 26 years ago, there was a couple of people given a pretty unique vision for the outworking of Christ in a community of believers, and Good Life was born out of that. But this month is not new vision. It's clarion call. It's just a clear call so that people can't walk away going, huh, you know, wonder what Good Life's actually about. This is to really call our hearts to mission. And that's the theme of this whole month, is mission. Last month we talked about faith and what faith was. And this is truly the natural follow-on from that, because the natural outworking of faith is mission. The natural outworking of faith is mission. Now, the end of last week, Daniel really clearly just made this point from James that says this: unless our faith is producing action, it's dead. Unless it has cause, unless there's motivation to do something, there's a really good question to be asked of what is our faith worth? It's not that, as he said, it's not that our works, our activities save us, but any life that is connected to Jesus will produce something as an expression of that connectedness. It can't help but do so. And mission for a long time for people has been this thing that's done a long way away in countries, you know, on the other side of the sea. And that is a small part of mission. But what I want to bring to you is this definition of mission. I looked it up in the dictionary, and this is the first definition. You know, you go through and it has a few different lines of definitions. This is the premier, the first one. Ready? A body of persons sent to conduct negotiation or establish relation with a foreign country. The business with which such a body of persons is charged, and a permanent diplomatic office abroad, or a permanent diplomatic presence abroad. Does that have anything to do with us? Look at it again. A body of persons sent to conduct negotiation or establish relation with a foreign country. The business with which such a body of persons is charged. A permanent diplomatic office or a permanent diplomatic presence abroad. I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 17, it says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, or bringing the world back to himself through Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed us to that very message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Philippians 3:20 says this, and again, talking about in the context of Jesus Christ, it says that our citizenship is in heaven. The New Testament says that in Christ we are foreigners, we are aliens, we don't belong to the culture of this world anymore, that our citizenship is that of a new kingdom. It is a newness in Christ, and we await the fulfillment of that. But in the meantime, we are the ambassadors of that kingdom. I want to go back to that definition. Mission. A body of persons. The church. Sent to conduct negotiation or establish relation with a foreign culture. That which is no longer our own. And mission is the business that we should be about, that we have been charged with. Mission, a permanent diplomatic office, a permanent diplomatic presence abroad. Here in this earth, in a place that's no longer our permanent home if we are that new creation in Christ. This is everything to do with what mission is, and this is everything to do with what our lives should be about. Mission is about all of us, and it is about intentionality. It's about purpose. You'll have heard that phrase. You know, you see someone in a busy place and they're head down and, you know, they're about their business. They're walking somewhere. It's like, dude, on a mission. Like, you're going somewhere. You are intentionally doing something. And that phrase has come about when someone is said to be on a mission because, you know, they are intentional about where they're going. It's clear to anyone around them that there is a purpose to what they're doing. And this is what we are called to be about. Listen to me, mission is not just about a time. It's not a select time that we prep for and that we plan for and that we wait for. Let me say it again. Mission is not just an allocated time that we prep for, that we plan for, and then we wait for. There may be truth for that in some people's lives. And we're going to pray a little later because that is a reality. In Jared Bradley's life, that he has prepped and he's prepared and he's on his way out for a specific season of this mission. But it is that we are present in every single moment. Mission is about being in every moment in the presence of Christ right where we are. Mission is not about distant location. It's about a life lived out on location. Where are you? Where do you find yourself day by day? Because as a follower of Jesus, that should become mission to us. Our deliberate living out of the expression of Christ. Mission. It's the here and the now. It's what I refer to as the outflowing or the overflow of the indwelling of Christ within us. It's about letting the person, the purpose of Christ be interwoven in our everyday moments, in our everyday story, in our everyday activities. That's what mission is. It's the deliberate engagement in that story, the deliberate engagement in the outworking of that. And listen, I heard someone this last week say this, you know what? I don't have an important enough story. I want my friend to know about Jesus, but I don't feel my story is enough. And when I heard that, everything in me just was like, what? What? You need a bigger story? You have a story. If you've been alive at all, you have story. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I gave you purpose. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, as a voice in the streets. And Jeremiah says this, oh, no, Lord. I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. I don't have the yards behind me. I don't have the story. I don't have the knowledge. I don't know. And God's response is this, do not say to me that I'm too young. I don't want your excuses. That's what God is saying to Jeremiah. He answers him specifically, but he goes, don't give me your excuses. Because actually this is not about your story. This is about me in your story. And often that's what we miss. We sort of think that, man, I gotta have this, you know, big, dark, elaborate story that somehow God just did this huge thing. Listen, if we are at all rebellious against God, the idea that God, who is perfect in righteousness, would pursue us at all is a story that should be on the front page of every newspaper in the world. That's how big a story that is. It's not about how dark your story was. It's about how great His presence in our lives is. And that's what we got to take a hold of. And when we get that mission, it's just going to flow out of us, that intentional connectedness. God says to Jeremiah, don't be afraid of people. Go everywhere I send you. Say whatever I command you, for I am with you. I will be the one who shelters you. I will be the one who rescues you. I'm going to be the one that preserves you. This is about my declaration of myself in you. You don't need someone else's gift. You don't need someone else's story. Yours is unique to you. It's unique in expression of God, of what God wants to say through you. It's unique to you. No one else has exactly the same experiences. We have divergences from one another all over the place. And I believe that God has uniquely woven Himself into all of it. And let me say this, whatever you have heard, relationship with God is not a moment. Relationship with God is not a moment of prayer. It's not a resolution. It's not a decision. Relationship with God is a story that is so much bigger than that. It's a story that began before you were formed in your mother's womb. It's a story that began at creation. It's a story that God has uniquely woven Himself in and through as a declaration of Himself. Here's the thing. Romans chapter 1 says that in everything that God has done, He's declared Himself, and that includes you. That includes you before you ever responded to his grace or came to him. He formed you. And he knew exactly what we would be like, what the gifts are that he implanted in you, what the talents are, those personality things, those quirky things, all of those things, God knows. And he goes, man, my story in you is going to be unique. Long before we ever responded or engaged in what God was doing. It's a story. And he, as you've heard me say before, is the relentless pursuer. He never quits. He's the one who deliberately engages us and invites us. That unique weaving through every experience, every success, every failure, every victory, every scar. And it's funny, you know what? So many people want to cover up the scar parts of our stories. We want to cover up those places where we were injured or where we were damaged. But you know what we forget about scars? Is scars are probably the most direct revelation of healing and restoration. You may have had a wound, but when you've got a scar, it healed. And the thing in our lives is that, yeah, we carry scars and we carry painful things, but I promise you that all of those places are the unique weaving of God's grace and restoration in you. And don't hide them away. You know, there was a book that I read, and, you know, people encourage leaders to read leadership books. One of the best leadership books I read was called Leading with a Limp. I once got told by someone that I shouldn't preach the way I preach because I don't give people anything to aspire to. Because I'm not known for like big, you know, rah, rah, pump you up, build you up, positive, believe positive all the time and positive is going to come. Listen, the reality is we live in a broken world and my life is broken. My wife can tell you, my kids can tell you. I stumble along. But I'm going to own every bit of it because God is uniquely woven into every bit. I don't want to follow a general into a war that has never been in a battle and never carried a scar because that would tell me he never engaged. I want to be around people that walk with a limp because it means they engaged and they fought it through. Don't hide your scars from one another. Mission is when we deliberately, footstep after footstep, in allow God's story to be woven in us and worked in us, and then we live it out in every single opportunity of every day. I got a late night text from a friend of mine. I was driving up from the airport really late last night. I get home and I look at this text, and I'm used to late night texts from this friend of mine, but and they're always usually like this celebration, like, man, I got to tell you something. It's like I flew up, he flew up on this earlier flight than me. And he said, you know, I was about to hook into reading a book about Jesus, and there was this person sitting next to me, and I began a conversation with him, and all of a sudden, instead of reading about Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus. And in the midst of a discovery of great pain in their lives, Jesus was suddenly present. And all it was this person or these people, there was a couple of them in that moment, engaging the moment as that grace of Christ was woven into their own lives, and they get to just overflow that and share it into the life of this person that just happens to be in the seat next to them on a flight. That's mission. That's mission in that moment. And every one of those parts of our story is a milestone and a tool in God's hand for his story to be told in us. So I ask you this, what has God done in your story? What's he done? What's he doing? What is he writing today? What is he revealing? What's he redeeming? What is he restoring? Because every part of that is revelation in us that we are his ambassadors and ambassadors of that kingdom that we carry in our hearts. Every bit of that authorship that he does in us. You do not need a new story. You do not need a more convincing story. You don't need a more powerful story, and you certainly don't need a more sanitized story. You don't need to clean it up. You don't need to hide the bits away. You need your story. And don't be afraid that your story isn't sufficient, because God in the midst of your story is what makes it sufficient. God takes what he's crafted in us and he just gives us this new focus for it. He doesn't ever just like wipe it all away. He just gives us a new outworking of it, a new focus for it. Like, I love the fisherman in the Gospels where Jesus meets him and he goes, you spent your whole life fishing for fish. You love fishing? Good. Let's go fishing for people. He didn't say, you know what, you've spent your whole life fishing. That's a waste of time. Go to Bible school and learn how to preach and then lead my church. He just goes, let's go fishing for people. You get what that is. What is it that he's woven into you? What do you naturally do? What are you drawn to? Do it. And let God weave himself through the midst of that story. One of my favorite stories is this shepherd boy in the Bible. But always within him was the nature of a warrior king. David. And I was thinking on some traits about him, and I weave him into this message, because David was this young man who was shaped in obscurity long before he took to the throne. He was developed in what most would consider the dark recesses of insignificance. He was reshaped in the battlefields of opinion and criticism, redefined under the searchlight of success. But every one of them became a part of God's declaration, and we are privy to it because it was recorded, and none of it is hidden and none of it is sanitized. It's the reality of God woven, declaring himself, and he is still the only man in the Bible described as a man after God's own heart. You're reading Joshua, and if you've never read it, it's the sixth book of the Bible, and it's this incredible place of God moving into, moving his people into this place of promise. But every call, every part of mission must be accompanied by courage. You got to have it accompanied by courage. When you read Joshua chapter 1 time and again, what's God speaking to Joshua? Exactly. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because you've hardened yourself in the duels of battle, in the fires of the battlefield. You've shown yourself true. No, don't be courageous because of that. Why? Go there if you don't know the answer to it. Because I'm with you. The Lord your God, with you. It's not because you're capable. It's not because your story is enough, but because the Lord your God is with you, woven into the midst of your mission. I love, and you've heard me talk about it so many times, the piles of rocks around this arduous journey of the Hebrew people, that every time they come back to it, and some of them were painful battle places, and it was like, this is where the Lord, our God, showed himself. We've got to be willing, courageous, to take people to places in our lives that we've encountered God. And I'm not just talking about locations. I'm not just talking about church buildings. I'm not just talking about gatherings in these sorts of rooms. I am talking about those places in our lives, those transformational experiences where you know that you know that you've engaged him. I love the Celtic tradition of thin places. places that they describe where the divine almost becomes tangible. Where it feels like we reach out and the divine is right here, that God is that close. And we got to invite people into those spaces of our story. God always shapes us as mission is outworked in us, within the pilgrimage, within the journey, in the midst of that discovery of Him, in the midst of that discovery of ourselves. And Philippians 1:6 is one of those verses that my life is anchored to, and this is it. For I am confident of this, that He who began a good work in you, what? Will carry it on. And how far? To completion. Philippians 2:13, it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His purpose. I ask again, what's He working in you? Because God has this incredible ability to call out the not as if it already is. The God who calls the something out of nothing. The God who meets Abraham and says to him, Abraham, you are going to be the father of nations. You are going to be the one through whom all the world is blessed. And when does He speak it to him? When he's too old and his wife is barren. It's God who speaks to this fella Gideon, and he meets him and he goes, Gideon, you're the mighty warrior. You're the deliverer of your people. Even though right now you're hiding petrified of your enemies in the bottom of a well. It's God who comes to David and he anoints him as king of Israel and calls him out and says, you are going to lead your people. Even though he's sitting on the hillside tending sheep, ignored by his family, forgotten mostly by his brothers. It's God who says to Peter, Peter, on you, on this rock, on this truth, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the truth is, right then, Peter was still on the downhill road to denial. And this is the thing. God has a unique ability to see stuff in you and call it out in you long before you see it. And all He says is, would you engage me? Because this is what mission is about, the here and the now. It may lead you to places like the other side of the world, but it begins here and now. You might not yet be everything that He sees, but you will be. Everything that He has purposed, He will fulfill. He formed you and He's crafting you. He made you and He's shaping you. And you already have in you all the purpose that you'll ever need, because He has purpose in us. The truth is, God's looking for one response. Yes. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are towards Him, that He might strengthen them. What's He look for? Yes. That response that says, God, I want you in my moments now, in my days. I want to be present in your presence. I want that now. That's mission. Walk faithfully in the day-to-day. But I tell you this, He must have His way in your heart before you're fully useful in His hand. He must have His way in our hearts before we're useful in His hand. As we talk about mission, it begins with this: has He had His way in your heart? Because it's never about the activity that will shape our heart. It's about a shaped heart that then goes into action. It's not about the success. It's about the surrender. Mission is never about the accomplishment. It's about the surrender and the story that's being written. Listen, we serve a God of transformation, and in turn, in that transformation, we become agents of transformation, living expressions. And to not reveal Jesus as a follower of Jesus, to not see Christ revealed in you, the only reason can be because we hide him. Jesus naturally will be the overflow of a life surrendered to him. To not reveal him means that we're hiding him somehow. Everything that he has made shouts his person, shouts his presence, and that includes us, and especially when we are recreated, new creations from the inside in Jesus Christ. Tonight I ask you, do we have the will to offer ourselves to his missional call right now in the here and the now, wherever you are, whatever your story is? And as a part of Good Life, and this is what this whole month is about, we have a unique call and a unique outworking. And all of us who would call ourselves a part of it, a uniquely woven mission. And this month we're talking about this theme, the four spheres of influence. Mission is not about the other side of the sea, as I said, it's about the here and the now. We are a community of people called by the name of Christ. And those four spheres begin with what was uniquely given to us to do, and that is our center. This center was born out of a heart for mission, the presence of Christ in the here and the now, in this Budrum Valley region. And I know we come from all over the place, but this is our first sphere of influence. It embodies this church, and yet the center is the expression of this church. And there's many who don't get here during the week, can't get here during the week, don't know really the first thing about what happens in this place outside of this. And next week, I'm going to talk to that a lot. And I want to challenge you, be a part of every one of these messages, because my prayer in it is something will ignite in you that you will go, that's what I want to connect with. That is my mission in the here and now. Or else at the end of it, you might go, I'm not called to be a part of this. And I will encourage you to get where you are called to be, because it's about engaging in the here and the now. And if you can't with this, then find where you can. And I will cheer you on and champion you, and we will get behind you any way we can. Our center is unique. The way it functions, as you know, I came back from a conference recently that we were looking at some of these things. We function pretty uniquely. And the stories that come out of here are unique. The chances for people to encounter Jesus are pretty unique. And for me, this is probably one of the greatest places of the outworking of mission in my life right now. I do lots of things. I swim teach here. I serve in the cafe here. In fact, all of our leadership staff take time to serve in different things here, to be engaged with people who would call this place their community. I gave out a Spirit of Good Life award recently. We hand out this thing every now and then. It's just like, man, you get the heart of Good Life. Here's an award that just goes, yes, we celebrate you. And it went to this guy, David Stark. I don't think David has ever set his foot in a Sunday. But he is as vitally a part of the Good Life community that he gets it. We had this fella, John, who has had multiple strokes, and he volunteered in the cafe until he had to move back to where he was from. He used to volunteer multiple strokes, one side of his body no good. And every time he picked up the tray, I'd cringe because I think all of the plates are going on the floor. And he would make it work because he just wanted to be a part of this expression. And he came in when he was visiting here to have his final time of serving in the cafe. And in his stroke, he doesn't walk right. And he caught his foot and he fell like a tree. Right in the entryway, smashed his face on the tiles and ends up in this pool of blood. The first person at his side was David Stark. And sat with him until the ambulance came. With his hand on him, telling him, man, you're going to be all right. That's someone who gets the hard expression, even though as yet they may not have confessed Christ. And it's a pretty unique setting, and I invite you anytime, every night of the week, different sports. I love, there were a couple of girls visiting from New Zealand this last week, and I'd show up here, and every night of the week, they were here doing a different sport, and they were just visiting. I was like, that's it. But you don't have to be here. Your call might be beyond these walls. Our next sphere of influence is our location and our region, our community. And I am so rapt that we have a bunch of you guys engaged up in Majimba. To have Jeremy and Scotty take on the board storm, we talked about that. To have a bunch of you guys that are up at Coolum that you would say, man, this is my community, but that's where I'm engaged. That's my mission. To pray as we did and know that there's those who are taking on mission in Brisbane and other places that they just feel like, I just got to go and live my life and see that overflow of Jesus. But you know what? It may not be here. You may not get community. There are people who are part of this and their call of influence is our nation. They are a voice in politics. They are a voice in national business. They are a voice and they have a real heart call and concern for this nation. And Good Life is engaged in things at a national level, joining hands with other people who are out there doing stuff. And if it's not this center, if it's not this community that we've planted in, maybe it's the nation. But then if you look out here on the way out, you'll see that global impact of Good Life Board. And there are people in about 30 countries. We've had influence in about 30 countries around the world where people have gone out with this heart and say, man, I want to be on mission. And whether it is part of this gift here or it's a statement in this community that we find ourselves in or it's a voice in this nation or it's a voice in this world, those are those four spheres that we feel like God has called us to. The question is this, where is your mission? Because in my warm-up over the last few weeks, you heard me say it and I'll say it again, and I know this has made some people mad. Jesus did not go to the cross so you could sit in a meeting for an hour and a half. Jesus did not shed his blood to give us access to a gathering. Jesus took our sin to the cross that we could walk in the newness of life and be ambassadors for his kingdom that cries out, be reconciled to him. Agents of transformation in this earth, somewhere, somehow. Your story is not insignificant. You might be a mother or a father of little children and you go, man, I don't have time. No, that's where you're on mission. That is where you're imparting that representation of Jesus. That is mission. Don't underestimate your mission. Live in it. Oh, I don't have time to do mission. I'm in school. That's your mission. I don't have time to do mission. I'm at uni. No, that's mission. I don't have time. I'm working. Well, you know what? Working is a gift that God has given, and it's mission. It's opportunity for declaration of Christ in us. Whatever it is, your profession, your interest, your hobby, whatever it is, it's an opportunity.
And so I want to encourage you, and each week we are going to explore each sphere, culminating in one big celebration on the 31st of August. You're going to have to either not go for a surf or go for an early surf, because we're not doing a night gathering. We're doing one gathering that this community of Good Life across three services are going to come together. And we're going to look at what does this expression of mission look like, celebrate it together. We're going to do it here in this center. Everything's going to be open. Pool open, the stadium open, sports open, gym open, cookout happening. We'll have tables around that talk about national opportunities, local opportunities, community opportunities, center opportunities, ways to move in life with one another, global opportunities. And I tell you what, you might have a local passion, but you can have global impact in a simple thing, even like compassion. Compassion is where we take a deliberate interest in the development of a nation through children and families in other parts of the world that we might not be able to set our foot. Everywhere we can have an impact, it's mission. And so I want to call it out in you. And I invite you, if you at all call yourself a part of Good Life, be here, be engaged, be involved. Let me pray. Father God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, giver of every good and perfect gift, you, the relentless pursuer, you, the eternal redeemer, you who weaves that thread of your grace through every moment of our lives. You who reveal yourself in everything that you are doing. You, God, who will fulfill your purpose. God, call out that stuff in us. Put your finger on those things. Begin to resonate within us that we would be moved to mission, to intentionality, to purpose. And God, even if people sit and go, man, I don't even know, I pray that you would give them that courage to call out to you, to respond to you, to begin in what they might feel are those insignificant moments. But God, let them see that you make them significant. I thank you for every person, God, who is a part of this community of faith with our eyes fixed upon you, Jesus, the head of your body, the church. Reveal yourself to us, in us, through us, for the glory of your name. And I'm going to invite you to stand. And now, God of all power, God of all might, the God who calls things that are not as if they are, the God whose word is a living word, perfectly revealed in your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave us your Holy Spirit to lead us in all truth and to equip us for every good work. God of all good, would you bless us to be about what you are about? And would you keep us? And would you make your face to shine upon us, illuminate our way, illuminate our hearts, oh God. Would you be gracious to us? Lord, as we stumble along, as we try it out, as we stretch our wings to fly, would you be gracious to us? And would you lift up the light of your countenance upon us? Give us your wisdom. And God Almighty, give us your peace. That we would not just struggle and strive, but that we would rest
in your call and your equipping in mission to the glory of your name alone. Thanks that you hear us and that you answer us. Amen.